children. God bless you and thank you. Thank you for wrecking me again. Wow. You know, when we were overseas, I was speaking about some of the children here, and I was telling, I don't remember what, I think we were in Indonesia. Maybe, Shell, you can help me. I'm not sure where we were. And I was speaking about a vision that I had of one of our little people who was walking in front of me right down here. Was that in Indo or was it Indonesia? One of the church services. And I was just speaking about the goodness of God and how big the Lord is and how He is so intentional about each one of our lives. And as this little person in our midst, who was up here, one of our guards, came out of a situation that was really rough for him, and how he was just walking down here, and I saw him all grown up. He was walking in front of me, and all of a sudden, there he was, completely grown up, quite nice looking, you know, and very holding a Bible in his hand, and walking in the streets of Canton. And I was just, it wrecked me when I saw, you know, the antics of the child and, you know, just the frivolity of kids and all of that. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, that's just so amazing that you would privilege me to be able to see something that you've seen before the foundations of the world. And yet you're giving me a glimpse of what your intention will be for this little life. And I remember one day when this person was having kind of a challenging time during one of our meetings here, and was over in the corner, just not quite clicking. You know how it is sometimes with kids. And so I got down on the floor with him, and he wasn't all that much. He wasn't a happy camper at that moment. And so I was telling him about this vision, and I said, would you like me to tell you something that God spoke to me and showed me? Okay. And so I told him what I told you, and he just looked at me. I said, do you want to come up and worship with me? Want to come up in the front? Yeah, I guess. But everything that was going on in the back was just instantly changed. There was a flash of, wow, that's for me. That's about me. You know, there wasn't even a spoken, you know, conversation back and forth. It was just the deposit from heaven right on this young man. Speaking destiny into him. With the words that God gave, with the vision that He gave. And I was telling someone in Indonesia about that, a pastor actually. And I said, you know, it makes it all worth it when you see a glimpse of heaven coming to earth, and to be able to lift up a life, to be able to say, I believe in you. I care about you. You matter to me. You matter so much to me. I'm going to give you just an idea of how much right now. In the midst of us discovering, this young man discovering the love of Jesus, in the midst of absolutely not necessarily catching it right now fully, but in the midst of that, the Lord says, I'm backing you. I believe in you. I love you. I care about you. And I'm with you, and you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. And you're going to see some of the reasons for what's going on in your life right now. Not all of that was completely computing, but I could see there was a measure of, like, this feels good. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm feeling so special right now, but I do. I feel special. I don't know if I even want to go out on the streets of Canton holding a Bible, preaching the gospel, but I'm feeling really good right now because somebody believes in me. And our God is so, so faithful. To be able to speak life into us, even when we may feel lifeless, we may feel hopeless, we may feel something less, financially less, joy less. And the Lord says, I don't have less in my name. I am all about increase. I am all about abundance. I am all about the more. I am all about lifting you up higher and higher and higher. That's why I sent Jesus, Father says. That's why I came to this earth. That's why I love you so much. Because I am love. And it's easy for me. You're the object of my affection. I'd love to become the object of your affection. That would be the desire of my heart, because I created you for love. I created you to know me. I created you to feel me. I created you to come close. Just a little longer. Just a little longer. It's kind of funny. This morning, we got home last night, as I mentioned earlier, from Indonesia, Singapore. And God was just absolutely rocking that place. And so we were gone 3 weeks. It seemed to be about 3 months. It felt like it was a very long, long, good long, but long, very intense, and a good intense, very, very long trip. But it was only 3 weeks. It's hard to believe. And so we came back last night and just ready for celebration today. And so I had my plan of what time to get up to spend time with the Lord. Wanted to do that. And the Lord woke me up earlier, and it wasn't jet lag. It wasn't time, you know, like, oh my gosh, we can't sleep on a plane, so that's going to happen. And it wasn't that. I knew that. So I was up earlier, and one of the things that I'd hoped to be able to do was listen to all of the messages that were given here before or while we were gone. Wasn't able to do that. Tried, but it just didn't happen. But the Lord did say, and sorry, Andy, and sorry, Lawrence, and the rest who ministered so beautifully. I'll get to that. We'll get to that. We want to. But the Lord said, listen to the message from last week. Listen to the message about humility and pride. And I did, and I was wrecked again. It was amazing. If you weren't here last week, I really encourage you to listen to all the messages. I really do. I got snippets from the other two from what Cynthia shared. But it just gave me such pleasure to know that our family here is just kicking it up in the spirit, loving Jesus and drawing people to his throne of grace and enjoying heaven, ministering out of this place, going out to the streets, going out to different places while we're overseas. And I just sat at my desk this morning and thought, God, you're so big. You're so much bigger than I even realized. Again, I'm wrecked by your love again. I'm ruined by your love forever again. And when I listened to Cynthia's message on humility, specifically when she was speaking about Philippians 2 and talking about Jesus just taking on the form of a servant, Jesus emptying himself, and just the equality with the Father, just not something to even be grasped because he became a servant to all as the lover of all mankind, I was taken back to my salvation in my 20s, and I remember, absolutely remember the first time I set my eyes on Philippians 2, and it just gripped my heart so deeply. I remember it. I remember that moment, and I remember thinking, I never want to lose this. I never want to lose sight of this, and I want to grow more in love with you. I want to know what that really looks like. I want to feel what those words are saying. I didn't know the word revelation then. But I want whatever that means that I'm feeling right now, I want that to grow. I want it to be the earmark of my life. And that's what I wanted back in, you know, those early days. And I just kind of was, you know, going through my files for the years I've been saved and just thanking God for the, not a reminder like, don't forget, humility is important, but just the reminder to my heart that Jesus is humility. And then there's just no room for pride, you know, in any place in us at all. And I was just reminded and closed my eyes and I thought, oh God, oh God, oh God. To only grow deeper in you that way is just such a privilege, such an honor. That's truly why I was created. That's why I created to know you, to know love, to walk, to become love like that. And of course, there's seasons in my life and years and such where, yeah, I probably was closer to the Lord than others, but still propelling forward because of his spirit. Because he said, I've got your back. And I'm taking you where I want you to go. I didn't know I'd be traveling around the world back then. I didn't know what I'd be doing right now, which probably would have scared me back then. Like, what? But it's such a joy right now. But I know that in the season that we're in, even watching our little people up here, it's like, oh God, the plans that you have for us are so amazing. They're so amazing. The plans that you had for everyone in this scene, not just our little people here, but the scene in Scripture. Oh my. As I was rereading the accounts and the resurrection again, And thinking about that, last week I was preaching in a church, and Cynthia had mentioned some of that in her message, and Pastor Bill was preaching in another one. We divided up and tried to take more territory of love for Jesus. And I was preaching on Palm Sunday and just reminded of the humility of Jesus riding on a donkey, a nameless, faceless colt, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And the Lord gave me his words of life to be able to splash on a church that was just sitting there going, I don't know her. I don't know who she is. I don't know anything about her, but she's here. What do I do with her? And I saw God wreck them with his love. Wreck them. And he just came up. They didn't know what to do with me. It was great. And I said, get me out of the way so you can see him. And they came forward and just were so touched by God. And I thought, boy, Lord. And that was in Singapore. God, you're just lighting another fire here. We're fire starters. Yay, what a privilege to light fires, to start fires wherever we go. But I told them, I said, I'm burning. I'm a burning ember. And if I'm not burning, what kind of fire can I speak about? Or what kind of fire can I be used by the Lord to light? What can I do? We need to burn. Don't we need to burn, church, together? Don't we need to burn beyond even just the wonderful worship that we go, yes, God, that was awesome. And beyond what we saw with the children, the Lord says, I want you to burn for me, baby. I want you to be on fire all the time. I created you for that. I created you to burn for me, to burn in love for me, to allow that consuming fire of my love to burn out any impurity and anything that would hinder what it would be for you to come so close to me that intimacy was the greatest cry of your heart, that nothing mattered but intimacy with you above all else, closeness with you, closeness and closeness and closeness and more closeness. Oh, that's what I was feeling. That's what I was sensing. And I spoke the words that he gave me based on what he gave me in Mark chapter 17 at that time. And it's like, oh, God, what do you want to do now? He says, I think I'm going to heal them. Woo! All right. I think I'm going to stir them up. I think I'm going to knock a few on their faces. And in a love way, you know, love came. Love came. And he says, I just want them to know that I sent you. That's humbling. That's scary. Like, oh God, you sent me to deliver this? I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you. I know. That's what it's all about for you, honey. And they will see me as you stay low and keep your eyes on me. They will see me. That's what she was preaching last week. That's what humility will be for us as we contend for the humble one to take us over to wreck us ever and ever and ever again. The children will see this. The children are getting glimpses of these things. They were out praying for others last week at an outreach. You know, and I heard about it and saw some pictures and saw a little video clip last night on the cell phone. And it's like, what? God, you're doing it again. He says, I am, because I'm love. That's who I am. And I so want your heart. And when I was listening to the message this morning and you were playing just a little longer, I thought, oh, man, it would have been so cool. That's what I was thinking. If they could dance just a little longer. So I come in this morning, wow, and we've got our older dancers and the little ones too. It's like, how cool is that? We've got the generations. Oh God, this is it. This is the message. Just wait on me a little longer. Just wait on me. Connect with my heart. That's what you're saying. And the message is the same all over the world. It's really simple. The simple message of love. What if I don't feel it? That's okay. Doesn't change it. What if I'm not there? Well, where is there? What does there mean? The Lord says, here I am. Come to me. Come to me. I've been drawing you to myself. Now come to me. Come with open arms. Run into my arms of love. Run to me. Run to me deeper and deeper and deeper. You'll see your family differently. You'll handle your finances differently. Everything will change. You'll sing up here, worship team, differently as we come to him more and more and more. So it's all about the more. Isn't it great? When we were in Indonesia, We did a conference. How do you do a conference? We had a conference. We showed up and called it a conference, and that's what happened. God showed up, and it was called Kingdom Invasion, and it was an invasion of the kingdom of God. It was so powerful. It was amazing. 4 sessions, 3 nights, 2 nights and a day, morning and night on a Saturday. It was 4 sessions. And it was really, really phenomenal. We just thank God. We praise God. He gave us the idea last year and then just walked it out. And scrambled around trying to figure out how to do all these things in a foreign country. And it was phenomenal. And next year they want us to come back for more. More. You know that Father's love thing? How about more of that too? It fits in with this kingdom stuff, right? Yeah. More healing for families. More healing. More restorative work. All about restoration. All about increase from the Lord. It was phenomenal. We just praise God for that. And I know that you've been receiving some of the updates. To be really frank with you, I haven't had time to look at them until this morning when I was with the Lord. And I quickly put on Frontline Ministries, clicked on that. And I didn't read any of the updates, but I glanced at some of the pictures, crying, going, wow, that's right. Oh my gosh, that's right. There was so much outpouring of the Spirit of God. So much fruit. So much. So many great things. I was thinking, okay, where was that? Okay, what time was that? When was that? Who was that? It's like, God doesn't forget those things. I'm just a little child, you know, but he doesn't forget anything like that. He's totally, totally on it. He knows exactly what happened. He knows who was touched. He knows about those kidneys that weren't working for 10 years. He knows about that heart problem for 10 years also. And he knew that that person, this one person, would go and get touched. Just simple touch from the Lord. Go to the doctor the next day and get the report, you're healed. Things like that. It's like, wow, you're amazing, God. You know? How about a Buddhist lady who comes and sits in the front row for Kingdom Invasion? Figure that one out. I don't understand. One of our contacts found her in the lobby of the big building we were in and brought her. So she sat there. She's a crippled lady. And she got saved and she got healed. So she's walking around going, wow, I'm healed, I'm touched, and I know Jesus. Yes. Things like that. That's the invasion of the kingdom. But you see, love matters. Love touches everything. That's what love does. Love rolled that stone away. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, what part of that don't you get? What part of that don't you believe? What part of that is hard for you to grasp and hard to see that I love you and I'm in your court? Every promise for you is not just yes and amen because the scripture says and I go, yes, that's right, Lord, help me believe it. It's a reality. The Lord says, I want that to be a reality for you, a reality on the inside. A reality. This everything that we read, that we see, that we're thinking about, the visuals, is real to us, a reality. It becomes a reality on the inside for us. In other words, it works for us. God says, I'm doing this, I'm laying it all out with visual ways, verbal ways, revelatory ways that I'm making myself known to you so that you can spend a little more time with me. Just a little longer. Just wait a little longer. I saw Amy and Teresa do this in India last year, this dance, I think it was. Right, guys? Was this you guys, wasn't it? Wait a little bit longer. Who did wait a little longer? Where was that? Yeah. Oh, 2 years ago. Okay. Anyway, it's our dance people do all kinds of things. But I remember the first time seeing that going, wow! Little kids rescued out of human trafficking, watching that? Amazing. Amazing. Little kids watching this and then learning how to soak and being covered with gold dust. I think that's really cool. Angels visiting them to being taken up to heaven. I think the message is, I'm really on this. I'm here for you. Please invite me. Please just come a little longer. Just come. Come towards me. That's my introduction. All right, let's turn in our Bibles. Yes, thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful here. Let's turn to Mark chapter 15. Can we do that, please? So good to be here. dying to self. I know that Cynthia was speaking a lot about that. And again, Lawrence and Andy and others on Tuesday nights, you were amazing. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you, thank you. In Mark chapter 15, just wanted to start in verse 34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And there were bystanders, and they heard it, and they began saying in verse 35, "Behold, he is calling for Elijah." 37 and 38, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." The veil was torn in two from top to bottom. Completely torn. No barrier existed any longer. Nothing was separating us from that access to our Father. It was torn completely in two. Everything had now come to a standstill, to a halt. Jesus said, "I've done it. It's finished. This is what I came to do. I came to die, and then I came to release new life to you and to come back." Amazing. In 39, it says, "When the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way he breathed his last breath, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" At that moment, something clicked. The centurion was watching Jesus, watching all of this. And he saw what he did. He recognized, he watched, he said, "Truly, truly, this man is the Son of God." Something was stirring inside of him. Something, there was a connection with his heart. At that point, he saw. At that point. And the Lord says, at the point for each one of us, how and when will we see? Where will that point be? What will that be in our life when we see the next thing? Were you watching as the children were singing, as the children were acting out, so to speak, what was in here? Was there something inside of you that saw into what God was wanting to accomplish, not just in their little lives, but also in us right now? What was happening? What was he trying to say to us through this brilliant effort right now and in drawing our little ones, not just so we can see them, quote unquote, perform? No, for us to be able to say, "Lord, this is what matters. This is the only thing that grips my heart. This is worth giving my whole life for. This is worth it all, no matter what. There's nothing that can hold me back from what you have for me." Nothing, nothing. Was there a point in this? Was there a point where your heart was stirred saying, "This is my Jesus"? Was it when one of the children were playing up here and looking just kind of cute and taking their little flower or whatever it was and beating on it or whatever? Was it when the soldiers fell down? Was it when Jesus came out? When was it? Was there a point where there was some connection, some additional connection with the Lord saying, "I have allowed this to happen, not just for them, but for you"? What was it? Where was that connection? Did you have some type of, "Oh, wow, truly, this is the Son of God. Truly, this is my Jesus. Truly, there's more for me"? Wow. He saw the way he breathed. And in verse 40, "There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome." Interesting. Mary is highlighted here. Okay? Two Marys are highlighted here. We're going to skip down. We're going to jump a little bit and then come back and see what God's going to do here. Verse 43 speaks about Joseph's burial now, with Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. Okay. "And he gathered up courage and he went in before Pilate and he asked for the body of Jesus." So he gathered up courage. He was waiting for the kingdom, more than likely perplexed, wondering, what's going on? He's dying, and I think I heard he's going to die. And is he going to raise? I don't know. He did speak about it, but I don't know if it's a reality to me yet. But yet, if I go to Pilate and say, can I do something with his body? It might be a little scary because there's probably a plot that he might think that I would be part of and get myself in trouble, because that's exactly what the leaders were thinking, that if we don't handle this right, somebody will try to steal his body away and say that he rose, even though he really was going to rise. Amazing. So all this intrigue at that time, the Lord gives us insight into the feelings and into the emotions of the people on the scene, because they were all were significant players for each one of us, not only just to relate to people saying, well, they're human, I can understand how they felt, but also to say, Lord, what are you speaking to me about my connection to you? Where is Joseph of Arimathea in his walk with you, Lord? At what point did he recognize that you were indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who was to raise shortly after that? What was the point of connection for him? Skip down to verse 47, after Joseph laid a bought a linen cloth and took him down, wrapped him in the cloth, and laid him in the tomb. And he rolled a stone, of course, in verse 46, against the entrance of the tomb. So he rolled a stone, he and maybe some help, perhaps. We're just looking at this passage right now. And so he rolled the stone. The stone was rolled at his command. It was done in the human way that we understand here, but it was rolled back in a supernatural way. Interesting. So the Lord is saying, this is what has to happen. Jesus needs to be entombed for him to be released. And he's going to be put in the tomb for the release to come. And he's preparing the hearts for that connection, when that risen effect would just resonate on the inside, and that revelatory would come for those who would see that Jesus was no longer dead. Oh, yay. So Mary, verse 47, Mary Magdalene again, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. They were still peering in. Where is Jesus? Where is he now? Where is he? We know. We've been standing back. We've been watching all of this. And we know that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. And we know that she had been forgiven of much. And she recognized that he is the Jesus, the Lord of all, but still wondering, what was going to happen to my king? He's going to be in the tomb, and these people of prominence are bringing him in. They look like they know what they're doing. They find this place, this guy who has prominence and money, and they lay him in carefully, and I have the spices for him. And the tomb, or the stone here, is rolled in front of it, and I'm looking to see, where is he? What's going on? Wow. Verse 3 in chapter 16. So they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. They were questioning, they were asking, who will do this so that we can do our job? Who will take care of this? What is my place? Can you imagine what they must have been feeling? They're Jesus. They know now that he's dead. Do they believe that he's going to raise? Do they really believe it? Do they have the resurrection reality on the inside? Or are they just following through saying, I love my Jesus. I just want to be near him and anoint him. Are they anointing him for a burial? Are they anointing him for resurrection? What will you do? What do we do with what we have and what we know? Think about this. This is life-changing. This is a day where we talk all about the resurrection. And many of us may say, well, we're to live that way every day. All of that's true. Very, very true. But the Lord says, on this day of celebration, he uses all the effects that are around us. He uses the new dresses and the kids coming in. The dress that I'm wearing actually isn't new, but I went into my closet because the Lord made me new 2 years ago when I almost died, some people thought. And the Lord said, I don't think so. The resurrection power and life of my son lives in you. And you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, even though the doctor said you will die and told my family, go say goodbye to your mother because she's going to die. And they said, no, she will not die. She will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I had a mighty miracle with all of you and my family as well, who are some are here, praying for me and standing for life, not for death. Jesus came to give us life. That's the invasion of the kingdom. Life, 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 life. No matter what anybody says, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what someone else might talk to us and say, the Lord says, I am the life giver. Hey, yeah. So I got up this morning, and this beautiful dress that I have on, isn't it pretty? Isn't it nice? Yeah. Yes, I love it. The reason I have it on, my daughter-in-law Jo bought it for me right after I got out of the hospital, because I was going with my husband to do a wedding for Amy and Dylan. Right after, I had things to do for the kingdom. The Lord said, no, honey, your life is not over. There's no disease that can take you and hold you down in the name of Jesus. Hey, I got something to shout about. And so she bought this for me, and I, you know, she brought it over to my house and said, what do you think? I said, it was great. Thank you. And then we went to the wedding right after we got out of the hospital. And it was powerful. And I had a song to sing and something to say for sure that day and ever since. Because the Lord wants us to recognize that the stone has been rolled away. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is alive. And what he's done on the cross has enabled the tomb to happen. We have to thank God for the cross, live and carry and die to ourselves, and then live in the resurrection power of what he's accomplished. Thank you for this visual, guys. This is amazing. That's bringing heaven to earth. And that's why I wore this dress. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, back to the camp here. Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb? Who will do this? Verse 3. Did they need to ask that? They asked it. Do we need to ask the question? Who's going to do these great and mighty things for us? Or do we know these things? How well do we know him? How well do we know our love? How well do we know the lover of our soul? How well? Oh, Lord. And he said to them, this is the young man sitting at the right, verse 5, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. I would be too. Verse 6, do not be amazed. Do not be amazed. Okay. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. In other words, were you not expecting? Were you not expecting who had been crucified? He has risen. He has been crucified, but he has risen. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. In other words, ladies, 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 I'm here to tell you the good news. So when you see that the stone is rolled away and he's not here, I'm going to give you a verbal, guess what? What you see is true. And you can be amazed at this wonderful example of power, but don't be amazed of, you know, oh no, what do I do now? Not that kind of amazed, but stand in amazement that behold, he's risen, and you need to tell everybody about it. That's why you were created, because when love grabs our heart to that degree, you can't help yourself. You can't stop yourself. Oh, Jesus. When we were in Singapore, I was talking to a pastor in Singapore, and he increased in his revelation of some of the need in the area. After we were there, the Lord has given us an anointing to help others see some things if we stay low. And so one of the things that God did for us actually a year ago before we went last time is he gave me a vision of Michelle and I walking on the streets of a red light district somewhere in Asia. I didn't know where. It's like, okay. So I had this vision, and when we flew into India last year, we were in 3 different locations, and I didn't know where this was going to be. So I was kind of aware and looking around. I didn't forget this vision. I didn't want to try to make something happen, like take me somewhere and it'll be it. I mean, that's crazy. So Lord, you're going to have to just open it up and show me what it's supposed to be like. And so we went to different places, and we were in India, I think, for 3 weeks. And then after that, we went to Indonesia for two. So we were gone 5 weeks in the winter last year. And when we got to Indonesia, I did the same. It's like, Lord, is it supposed to be here? No. It's like, I'm not getting this. He had put a desire in our hearts to go to Singapore. And when we flew into the airport, this is last year, we flew into the airport, that feeling, that desire really rose. It's like, oh, I want to go to Singapore. I don't really know 100% why, but I know we're supposed to be in Singapore. I just know it's something we're supposed to do. He didn't lay it out prior to that because he was going to allow us to discover the why and discover it through a lot of different ways, and I'll tell you about that in a second. So when we flew in, we were talking about how could we possibly, we have our tickets and we have our, you know, going home schedule and all that. How can we make this happen? Lord, if this is from you, yes, it is. Okay. So we remembered that, flew into Indonesia, ministered there for a couple of weeks, and then at the very end, we shared a little bit about this desire and what it could possibly be. And then one of our contacts was used by the Lord to just speak life, because, you know, we were just talking about how we would do this. And this person said, you're going, this is what we're going to do. Here's, give me your schedule, and I'm making it happen. It's like, well, alrighty then. Would we have gone if that didn't happen? Probably, if that's what the Lord wanting to do. But this is how the Lord wanted to do it, to not only bless us, but bless the contacts, because God's all about blessing people. So we get into Singapore, and the Lord puts the desire in the heart to go walk in this red light district. And since we have some children here, I won't get into the details of what that would be. I think we have a few kids here somewhere. So you can look that up if you don't know what a red light district is. So we got in our taxi cab and went down to the red light district and tooled around down there and did some things. And I'll never forget seeing a girl, several girls, as I walked up close to a brothel there and saw several different, they look like Thai girls, sitting there with behind a plexiglass shield, they called it the fishbowl, with a big price tag hanging around her neck, exactly how much that gal would be worth. And I remember looking into the dead eyes, and it wrecked me, and I thought, I'll never forget that. I can still see it now. And so there were some other things that happened as well. So it's like, Lord, what are you doing here? Are we supposed to establish something here in Singapore in that area? What are you saying? I mean, I have a heart for this kind of stuff, God, so what are you saying? And others do as well. And so we prayed for this throughout the year. So we go back this year knowing that we're going to go to Singapore, and we had some other contacts lined up between last year and this year. Anyway, so God paved the way for us to go to Singapore, and we're preaching in churches, and we're at a youth rally. We're doing different things that God's telling us. And then we asked to take a couple contacts with us and said, would you like to go? In other words, we're in your car. Will you take us? Please. And they had not been there before. And Singapore is not a really big area, but this was their first experience. And we got into a very challenging discussion on the way back of the pros and cons of this kind of industry and what's supposed to happen in Singapore and what that could look like. And it was not heated. It was loving, but it was straight and intense and from the heart of the Lord, I believe. And when we were finished, I said, goodbye, I love you, see you later. And then got a text right after that, about an hour later, actually. It was midnight or 1 o'clock or something in the morning. And said, you know, thank you so much. The Lord opened my eyes to see what needs to be done in this region. From that, it was a big deal. This was a mover and shaker in the area. It was a very big deal. And I just sat there thinking, you gave a little old me a vision a year ago before we even went. And you want to see things change. And we'll continue to go back to Singapore, and things happened while we were there. But that was amazing. It was amazing. And actually, a couple nights later, we got in a taxi and the four of us went down there again. And it was phenomenal. And we walked the streets and we met all kinds of people. Met some ladyboys and met some prostitutes and got really close in their hearts and ministered to them. And it was very raw, very rugged, very real, and very timely. And I just thank God for that. And I say, all right, Lord, now what do you want to do? He says, I want them to know my resurrection power. And I used you guys to be able to open up this can in a place that needed some opening big time for this region. Not that things haven't been done in there at all, but where we were coming from with the people we were connected with, something needed to change, and there was a real mover and shaker that we were connected with. It was that has influence and has opportunity to make things happen. So it was a regional thing that we went there to do. And the year before, when we were in a hotel that was offered to us, we're standing on a very high floor, one of the highest in the whole Singapore area, and declaring and decreeing what the Lord gave us for the region over it. So we came with that, and knowing that God was going to shift some things. So I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool, God. We can go back and we can continue to do what you want us to do there. And then he reminded me of something else. Amidst all the healings, all the salvations, all the deliverances, everything that we go, wow, God, you're so cool. He is all about territory, and he's all about the regional effect. He's all about the cities, the states, the nations, the bigger areas. He's saying, I'm doing this right now, Mary Magdalene, and you're going to see it because you're going to be a woman of influence, and you're going to be able to be used by me to spread the gospel to the nations. Watch how I'm going to do it. So last year when we were in Indonesia, one more quick story, we're sitting in a car and we're with a gal who was going to take a run, actually in a couple of days after that, to the Philippines. And she was going to a conference for a week with Sun Yung Moon, the Universalist Church, one of the largest cults in the world, and very dangerous. All cults are dangerous. But she was really excited about it. She was a strong Christian, but she'd never heard of this guy. And so she asked Pastor Bill and I in the car, she said, what do you guys think? Or maybe we told her what we thought. I don't remember how that went. Did she ask us?
She asked.
She did ask. Okay. I don't know. It was all in love. But we ended up sharing with her what we felt that the Lord's heart would be in this situation. Very, very strategic. And she was really, really upset because she was going with a huge team of people from Indonesia, and she didn't know if she should go or not go. And anyway, she went there and sat through a week of baloney. It was really rough, but she was really concerned that she had a place now, a very specific place and a position in the Spirit to be able to go up to the people and say, no, you're not welcome in my country. And that's what she did. She did that to the coalition. It's a big deal. Now, they had already opened up, and they had sneaked into, so to speak, undercover. And I'm not saying that just, you know, they had some way to get in there. They had an NGO established, but they have now been barred from Indonesia, from Jakarta, Indonesia, to come in and do anything, because the very people in the coalition of people that went to the Philippines worked in the government. And so when this gal that we talked with, she went and told them all what was going on, and then she took that step and said, you're not welcome in our country. Okay, they went back then in their governmental jobs, and now there's a mandate where they are not allowed to come in, and they're not allowed to operate this cult. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. These are regional things. And God says, just stay low, and I'm going to use you to change nations. And many of you are coming this summer to China and to Mozambique, and we've just gotten back from Brazil and then Asia last night. I mean, God is doing it. He's saying, I want you to think beyond. I want you to think, who rolled this stone away? I want you to think beyond where we are with what we're doing for lunch when we're finished here. I want you to think beyond next week when we have our 24/7 prayer, which starts tonight for anybody who can drive here or walk here. And it starts tonight for 7 days. We'll have live worship every night, and you can come in here and just be with the Lord. It's just the most magnificent time. And we're expecting be things to happen here in this place for our families, for our friends, for our regions that we live in, the region that we live in and beyond, for our businesses. We're believing for that, and we invite you to have the privilege of participating in that, in the 24/7 prayer, which means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it's worship. It's prayer and worship. It's like, come on. Come on. We want to see these kinds of things happen, don't we? So if we're having something going wrong in our business, something's happening in our family, something's going on where it's like, oh, the Lord says, come on. Come on. The stone has been rolled away. I am not in the tomb. I am not on the cross. I am the resurrection power of love and life, and I want to see it turn around. You are a sign and a wonder, you, because he lives in you. I can give you stories. I can tell you these great and cool things that happen. And you go, yeah. And that's power in that testimony. The Lord says, do it again. Do it again in my life. Do it again for me. Do it again right now. Do it again. The Lord said, I'm a stirrer. I want to stir you up. Stir us up to be so filled up with him that nothing can stop us. Nothing can slow us down. One thing that I said to our dear pastor friend in Singapore is, when you're so stirred up and on fire, you can't help but see the things that are going on around you. You can't help but know that there is desperation around you. You can't help. No one has to say, get up and go, because you can't help it. It's inside, because Jesus said, get up and go. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. So here's the mandate for Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary. But go, tell his disciples, verse 7. Tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary, for whom he had cast out seven demons. And then verse 10, she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. Now, verse 11 through 13, check this out. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. Verse 13, they went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. 14. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Okay. The Lord says he gives us the opportunity to believe. To believe. It's a privilege to believe. It's a privilege to believe. It's an honor and a privilege to believe. He gives us the ability to believe. And he says, will you believe? Are you waiting for a feeling, or will you believe? Will you totally just say, I believe. There's nothing about my feelings or my emotions or anything else that's going to rise above. I believe. Lord, I choose to believe. I believe because I've received. I've received the Lord. I've received you on the inside. Your power, your life lives in me. Therefore, I choose to believe. And you've given me the gift of belief even before that, so that I could initially step in to belief. And now I'm going to hold fast to that belief and allow the rest to come and not hold anything back at all. So when you're at your dinner tonight, if you have a resurrection / Easter Sunday dinner, how strong will that belief be when someone else is sitting at the table who's not sharing that belief? This is where the Lord will stir us, you know? What will we do? How will we be? Thank you, Lord. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed, verse 16, has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The Lord said so. Period. Therefore, it is true. It is true. That's the kingdom. So then when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And what did they do? They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed. And finally, as they promptly reported all these instructions to Peter and to his companions after that, Jesus himself sent out through them from the east to the west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We turn in our Bible quickly, and then we're close here to Matthew 27, or 28, rather. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're crying too. For more of you, Lord. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. Verse 2. Let this rumble in your heart right now. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. Verse 3. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You saw it played out today. Verse 5. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus, who's been crucified. Verse 6, he's not here, for he's risen just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly, tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Wow. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Wow. So much in here. We're just going to finish with the Great Commission, verse 16. So much. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. Verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples, followers of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is exciting. The Lord says, this is thrilling. This is stirring. Jesus came to stir us. We can share with you, all of us can come up, all four of us, and share the different things that happened in Asia, the different things that happened in Indonesia, and also in Singapore. And we shared a few things, and we've got other team members that can say, I saw this, I saw that, here's what God did, and there will be a time for that. But I say to you today, that what God says about us celebrating the fact that he indeed has risen, and as a result said, go, just go, you can't stop. If you carry my power on the inside, you carry my resurrection life, nothing can stop you on the inside. If that go is not strong, the Lord says that that needs to change. There needs to be a stirring. There's a go inside. It's strong. It's gripping. These women were gripped with fear and amazement. They were gripped with astonishment. And then they ran and said, this is Jesus. He is risen. He's no longer in the grave. I didn't know. I went to the tomb to put spices on him. That's what I did. But someone else said, no, he's risen. He's not in there. And I'm going to tell somebody about him. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And then Jesus said, no matter what anybody says, if they don't believe, you go, and you share. You can't stop it. It's a burning fire on the inside that will drive out any fear. Somebody tells you, don't say something, don't do something. You better get a word from the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God says, that's me, that's one thing. But if the Spirit of God says, no, you better follow the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God says, in me there's no fear. No fear. No fear of man. No fear of rejection. No fear of death. No fear of pain. No fear of financial failure. Nothing. fear cannot exist in the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Impossible. 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 With God, all things are possible. Oh, the Lord says it's a new day. It's a new day. This is the sound of the new day. And it's intense, isn't it? But it's a powerful intense. Lord says, this is what love does. Love looks like something. Humility looks like something. And so does pride. And so does fear. Lord says, no way. Cannot even exist in the one who says, I love my risen Savior and Lord. And I will not permit this in me anywhere. And then I will have the eyes to see where fear exists. I will have the eyes to see where pain is. I will have the drivenness on the inside to go and say, let me pull you out. Let me take you out. There's a better fire over here. And it's the fire of glory. It's the fire of the risen Savior. That's the fire. Oh, yay. Wow. Happy Easter! Hey! He's risen! Happy Resurrection Sunday! Woo! That's what our kids need. Talk to your kids. Stop! Okay? They can take their bunny or whatever, but tell them about the tomb. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Yes. All over the world, he's alive. That's our Jesus. Shadababasa. Whoa. Yay. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, and I'm alive too. Death tried to take me out. No way. Oh, you know what my papa told me when I was not doing really well at first? I said, what's happening? And he said, you are dying, but you will not die. One word from the Lord. That's all you need. Oh, one word. One word. One word from the Spirit of God, and boom, it's done in Jesus' name. Oh, is our faith stirred today? Hallelujah. Well, guess what? We're going to close on the first song that he's alive. Oh, happy day. And if you want to dump a truck or something, come on up. All right? Because I don't want you to leave with any truck that's full of any kind of fear or pain or anything else. Because we serve a risen Savior. I like this thing. So worship team, come on. Oh, happy day. Okay? Oh, happy day. Wash my sin away. Wash my pain away. Wash my unbelief away. Wash my fear away. We want to see revival. This is revival. This is revival of the heart. And the people who come in this place are going to say, I want to be here because he's here. Amen. If you want prayer, come up with your head up, not down like this. All right? I actually had to instruct an entire church in that. Gave some kind of message the Lord gave me, and some started to come up like this, and it was a message of power and joy. I said, whoa, whoa. Oh, happy day. He's alive. Let's raise our chins up and say, come on. And there was a whole big outbreak of the Spirit after that. So if you've been conditioned to come up like this, hey, come up, and we're going to give that pain to somebody else. We're not going to keep it any longer. Amen. If there's something that's troubling your heart, you've got surgery scheduled, come on up and get a healing. Come on up and get a miracle. Serious. She's serious. I don't heal. He does. He says, go heal them. Go cure them. But it's with his power. Amen. So if you're sick, you've had sickness or whatever, you've had some financial woes, you've got some troubles in your family, whatever it would be. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're tired of being depressed and down, come on up. Let's celebrate and get healed and saved and delivered. If you don't know Jesus, come on up and say yes to Jesus right now. We'll pray for you.
They say in history, death is